You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, I think you better put your seatbelt on, Ron, because it's going to be a wild ride for the foreseeable future.
Oh, I got to tell you, I'm totally strapped in with this thing. What a bunch of malarkey. I'll tell you what, this whole impeachment fraud is, it's the worst I've ever seen in anything in government in my lifetime. And I hope slowly but surely the American people are waking up to this fraudulent, conspiracy with the Democrats and the new progressive left to unseat our president of the United States that 63 million people voted for.
Well, I think that they want to unseat him because they know they can't beat him. The country...
Oh, that's a good bumper sticker.
That's true, huh?
They're trying to impeach him because you can't beat him.
Unseat him because you can't beat him.
That's
yeah.
Good.
Because the country is rocking and rolling right now. Jobs are good. Wages are good. In fact, one of the things about wages is that, you know how the Democrats are always saying how it only works for the rich? Well, as a matter of fact, the wages that have gone up the most have been the lowest wage classes that there are, and they have seen the biggest increases in their paychecks. So again, it's false statements. It's things that people need to understand, that they can't just take the words of people. They need to do their own research. And there's data out there that people can research to find the truth about things. But this is the reason for the impeachment. And also just, when you go back and you look at the likes of Schiff and Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and a lot of these players here, actors I should call them, you see that they've been saying this since the day that Donald Trump came into office, that they wanted to impeach him. So this is nothing new. All they were waiting for was a vehicle in which to do it. They were counting on the Mueller report. Didn't happen.
Well, you know, just to simplify things, and I think a lot of people don't really understand the impeachment process, you know. At least some of the people that I talk to, they don't understand it. And I think maybe an analogous situation is if you understand regular criminal court, where you have a preliminary hearing, right? And then you have a trial. So in a preliminary hearing, you find out whether the defendant in the case is going to be held to answer. Right. Whether, you know, the judge determines at the first hearing whether there's enough probable cause to justify the arrest of the defendant. And then it goes to trial.
Well,
in a felony case,
before you even get to the judge, you go to the district attorney, and the district attorney is the one who decides if they have enough to make a case or not. That is basically Congress.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to disagree just a little bit. Having worked with a lot of district attorneys and you know, working on a lot of criminal cases, I disagree, and this is why. Because I've met district attorneys that were advocates, not necessarily advocates for law or justice, but advocates for who they determine with very limited knowledge, because the detectives are the ones that have
absolutely
the knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they going to file on the case? So I disagree with that, because when you go to prelim, that's when both sides get to put something out there. Okay, so you know, you've got the prosecutor who's, you know, putting forth the case to the judge as to whether probable cause for the arrest exists. But don't forget, even in a preliminary hearing, you get the defense attorneys and they get to argue against the prosecutor's case. And then the judge makes the decision as to whether the felony case is going to move forward to trial.
Well,
so that's what I see. That's what I see going on.
Would it be more analogous to that the Congress is like a grand jury?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, and that's great. And who gets to, I like yours better, actually. Okay, so that's great.
I win.
No, you win. and let me tell you why you turned me around here for a second. Okay, you win because in the grand jury case, the prosecutor runs the grand jury. And you know what they say about prosecutors and grand juries. A prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich.
Right, right.
Okay? So when you have the majority in Congress, that becomes the prosecutor. So that's what resonates with me.
And you don't have to have exculpatory evidence in the grand jury.
That's
it's basically all one-sided,
that's
which is exactly what happened here.
Wow, you taught me a lesson. But anyway, you're right. But what bothers me, and I think what bothers the American public, is that now, remember there was this huge rush, okay? It was a clear and present danger.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Trump is so bad for the country and so bad for national security that he, and this was actually a quote from one of the main people. I think it was one of the California congressmen.
Of course it was.
From Southern California. Trump constitutes a clear and present danger. And then also Maxine Waters said the same thing. So that became the parroted for the new progressive left. Trump constitutes a clear and present danger. And that's why they were rushing to vote for impeachment. But look what's happened.
Well, I mean, what's happened is that Nancy doesn't want to give over the documents to the Senate unless she can control how the Senate is going to try this. Okay.
Right,
or
right.
if they're going to try it.
Exactly.
Or what they're going to do with
exactly.
it. Exactly. And that's really not how this works. Okay. So you don't take a grand jury and the grand jury says, well, now we've indicted John Doe here, but we're not going to give you that indictment until you tell us exactly what you're going to do with it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in the law, and it doesn't work that way in an impeachment either.
Well, I've said this on several of our conversations. You've got primarily lawyers who are congresspeople and Senate. Okay, and senators,
which is why we have so many problems.
well, I don't disagree at all. I think that that's the crux of it. But don't forget that the lawyers in Congress and in the Senate get to make up their own rules. They get, you know, the Constitution be damned, the American people be damned. They get to make up their own rules. They are an unregulated group of people. Okay, so they have no accountability. I mean, there's zero. Can you think of any accountability? Look at them for a second.
No, they have immunity.
I'm going to digress for just a second, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, so who controls their wages? We don't control their wages. They get paid by the taxpayer, but they fixed it so that the taxpayer doesn't control their wages. They get to vote on their wages.
Their own wages.
We have no vote on their wages.
Right.
They get to pick their own retirement program. Okay, they're not on our retirement program. They're not on Social Security. They set that up for themselves. So the people, again, that pay for their retirement are us, the taxpayers, but we get no say whatsoever in their retirement program. Next thing, medical insurance and medical care. We're stuck with what we have, okay, which is an abomination, absolute abomination. Not them. They get their own medical program that we pay for, but we have no say in it. Let me say one more thing. Pensions. I don't think a lot of people know that if you're a congressman or a senator, you only have to work one day in office, and you get a pension for life. A pension for life that we pay for, but we've got no say in it. This is another example of this. They're running their own scheme. They're all a bunch of lawyers, but they are not responding to the rule of law because it's not like it's a real trial.
No, but it would be a trial in the Senate where Justice Roberts will come in and oversee it. I really hope that Mitch McConnell, you know, just dismisses it. I hope that we don't need to go through a trial. I hope that we don't call witnesses. I think the country needs to move on from this. And by the way, the Democrats, there are several of them that have said, well, we'll just do it again. We'll find something else. I mean, this poor president has been beleaguered with all of these people trying to get him out of office. I honestly don't understand the hatred towards this man. Yes, he's outspoken. He's irreverent. He's
bombastic.
All of those things. But doggone it, he gets things done.
Well, no, you can, these people definitely hate Trump, but it's so much more than that, because it is the swamp.
Yes.
It is the deep state. Okay. They're under the cone of silence. It's conspiratorial. And anybody that doesn't believe it's not conspiratorial is uninformed or just a blatant idiot. Just look at it, like Alan Dershowitz, renowned liberal, Harvard professor, constitutional law. That's Alan Dershowitz's thing. Plus, he's a pretty damn good attorney, and he takes some really high profile cases. He just recently said that with respect to Nancy Pelosi not bringing the articles of impeachment forward to the Senate is an unconstitutional act. Basically, that's what he's saying. He said that it could run afoul of the Constitution. To me, that's like saying it's an unconstitutional action. And it doesn't reconcile with what Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats like Schiff and Nadler,
yeah.
Thank you, have been saying, okay, that Trump is such a clear and present danger, mm-hmm. that we got to get rid of him right now. And then all of a sudden, you're going to hold back the articles of impeachment. And I'm going to tell you why. This wouldn't even pass muster in a civil case where it isn't beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just a preponderance of evidence. They would get summary judgment. If it was Trump and the Republicans, they would get summary judgment over the Democrats. There is no doubt whatsoever.
Well, we just have to wait and see what's going to happen. I don't know if she's going to sit on these things forever. I don't assume so. Nancy Pelosi always does things with a very devious intent. So she's got something up her sleeve. We'll just have to wait and see what it is. But I also think that they have made a huge mistake, a huge miscalculation, because they let their hatred blind them. And I think it's going to cost them, I know it's going to cost them the election.
Well, I agree with you. And by the way, even their own people are saying that. Even the pundits that are pro-Democratic and anti-Trump are saying that. Everybody on that Democratic side, except for the total naysayer, Trump haters, new progressive left socialists, are telling Nancy Pelosi, I think you overstepped. And I think it's going to hurt us. I think it's going to hurt us in the next election. I think Trump's going to get reelected, and I think we're going to lose some congressional seats. But it's all about power. And we've talked, Lynn, you and me have talked about this on so many different occasions, where the American public be damned. It's all about power. And the Democrats worried about losing power, and all of the voters be damned. The next thing I want to talk about is how the left-leaning mainstream media is totally in lockstep with these new progressive left Democrats. And they celebrated on the night that the Congress voted to impeach the president, voted on the
yes.
articles
mm-hmm.
Of impeachment. The usual suspects, line them up. CNN, MSNBC, the Washington Post reporters, the legal analysts for those networks, those cable networks, across the mainstream media were all celebrating this vote. And as a matter of fact, people like Laura Coates, you know who she is? She's an analyst for so-called legal analyst for CNN. She puts out a Twitter with a photograph of her, and they were saying things like Mary impeachment, and she called it a great day for constitutional democracy. This is that day that they voted was a horrible day for constitutional democracy, because absolutely no due process was afforded the president of the United States.
Well, and it was strictly along party lines, and you can just see how divided everybody is. And we have the one, was it Tulsi Gabbard who voted
present?
I don't even understand that, other than that she wants to appease both sides for presidential candidacy. So she had no moral high ground either way, which is disturbing to me.
Well, what's disturbing is that she heard all the so-called evidence. And she still couldn't make up her mind after months. And so she took the cowardly way out, just like you said, trying to oppose both sides instead of stepping forward, either vote to impeach or don't vote to impeach. You know, President Obama used to do that a lot when he was a senator. Okay.
Oh, he did it the majority of the time.
Right. Present. Yeah. There's a person, like you said, that's trying to appease both sides, but has no heroic courage one way or another to make up their mind.
I don't think that he could ever make a decision. I think his decisions were made for him by the likes of the
Soros and all those people that
the attorney generals and
absolutely.
So forth. I have no respect for that man whatsoever.
So what do you think is going to go into the future with Pelosi? I think she's going to have to bring those articles of impeachment forward. I mean, you can't delay forever.
Well, from my understanding, even if she doesn't bring them forward now that they voted, the Senate can just act on their own as though she has brought them forward. So they don't really need to have them in their hands.
And you know what? That's a great idea. I'll tell you what. And I wish people like Mitch McConnell would have a backbone, because I would take the bull by the horns right now. If the President of the United States and his defense team think they've got a good case that's exculpatory towards the President of the United States, I would just move forward as the Senate. And I would say, okay, well, listen, you're not bringing it forward. The American people need an answer. They want to hear evidence. Let's throw forth some evidence. Let's throw forth some, bring forth our witnesses and put this case on and
now,
vote on
see,
it.
See, there I disagree with you.
Okay, now what?
What I would like to see Mitch McConnell do is say that this is exactly what it was. It was a sham process, and simply dismiss it out of hand.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate with you for a minute, okay? If they did that, don't you think that Democrats, I mean, just normal voters, Democrats would resonate more with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats saying, well, what are they scared of? What are they scared of?
I think it's time for Republicans to just make a stand. I don't think that it's going to serve anybody to have some trial where you call all kinds of people, where all you're going to get is more spaghetti thrown against the wall.
No, that's a good analogy.
I was going to say another S word.
Right.
But, thrown against the wall, and then it's going to open up all kinds of other Pandora's boxes. We are weary of this. I want it just a stop put to it. I want it called out for what it is and not give it the credence of a trial. It doesn't deserve it.
Well, you know,
the congressional hearings were a farce.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you. And, you know, Linda, I really, honestly, you make a really good point. I mean, you really do, because it is a farce. And I will say this. Everybody that you and I talk to, and including us, I mean, we are so, you used a great word, we are weary of this, and we just want to move the United States forward. And by the way, this isn't really affecting Trump. He gets a little angry about it, but what has he done recently? Move trade with China. The USMCA is moving forward. He's securing more money from the European Union for our NATO defense. The wall is being built. Like you said, the jobs are up. The stock market is through the roof.
Illegal immigration, I mean, down 70%.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's grab that cup of coffee.
You got it.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's the truth behind the Black Lives Matter movement and the war on police at Amazon.com. Well, Lynn, I got to tell you that the whole plot is thickening with regards to the FISA warrant investigation.
It is. I am really looking forward to Durham's report whenever that comes out, but I think that they still said it's going to be a ways away.
Well, you know what? The poop's already hitting the blower because one of the U.S. attorneys, an FBI lawyer by the name of Kevin Kleinsmith, he just recently resigned from the FBI, and he's at the bottom of a lot of this, right? Because he's the guy that was running the FISA warrant applications through to Judge Rosemary Collier.
Well, he's the guy that falsified the document against Carter Page. And he made it sound like he was a foreign spy or something instead of not one. So the Judge Rosemary Collier got very upset about that. And now she has requested all cases that that particular attorney worked on be reviewed for misrepresentations in his work.
Well, yeah, and it's really interesting because during the course of the investigation that the Department of Justice conducted on Kevin Kleinsmith, what they found was that in looking at his text messages on his cell phone, they revealed that he's actually part of the Trump Resist movement.
Yes.
And, I mean, and you know what that means to me? Again, that means that there's corruption and collusion at the highest levels of the FBI, absolutely the highest levels. And when Jim Comey, and you remember that recent interview that Mike Wallace had with him, Comey looked so bad during that interview, because I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of Mike Wallace, but he absolutely pinned Comey's ears back.
Well, and somebody needs to, along with Brennan and a couple of the other guys that just have been despicable to Trump. Just way back when Trump was elected in 2016, this Kleinsmith wrote a Twitter thing that said, or a text that said, "Viva la Resistance."
Right.
And I feel like certainly not everybody in the FBI, Ron, because I have the utmost respect for so many of them. But this group of people who seem to all be kind of connected, interconnected, Comey and Page and Strzok and all of these people that were interconnected, Rosen, all of them, they all seem to be part of this resistance. But here's people with a lot of power, and power to hurt people, and power to infiltrate their lives and their emails and their surveil them, and they used that power in a terrible, terrible way because they hated Trump. I mean, there was no evidence anywhere ever that Trump was part of a Russian collusion. If anything, it's quite the opposite. I mean, Hillary was part of it. She was paying people to find dirt on her opponent, the same thing that they're trying to impeach the president over. It's just ludicrous to me that we are doing this to one person and completely exonerating the other people. Look at Joe Biden, right there in public announcing how he quid pro quo, right?
Right.
And
well,
he gets
actually
away
bragged.
With it.
He actually bragged,
yeah, he
about
bragged
getting
about
the Ukrainian prosecutor,
I mean, this is
to
just,
get fired. Okay, it, and he held back. He held back the financial support for the Ukrainian government, military spending, and things like that. All of this stuff is absolutely corrupt. And you notice how, with regards to this FISA thing, all the players, when you talk about Lisa Page and Strzok and Comey and Rosen and you know, a couple of the other guys, and now we've got this former FBI attorney Kleinsmith. All of these guys are up on the seventh floor, okay? And I got to be honest, I think there's so many problems up on that seventh floor that I would absolutely, if I was Trump, I'd be seriously thinking about getting rid of Ray, who's the director. I'm going to be a soothsayer here for a minute. I think Trump is just waiting for the next election.
Yeah.
Okay, because then, and he's going to get elected, I think. I feel very confident with that, especially, I think Nancy Pelosi handed him a huge Christmas present by doing this, to be honest with you. But I think once he's a lame duck, watch out for this president of the United States, because I think he's going to try to drain that swamp, and I hope he takes Ray out, because a lot of this stuff happened after Comey left has been happening during Ray's administration. And I'll tell you what, I think he needs to go. I think they need to clean house on that seventh floor. And by the way, you know, you mentioned thousands of FBI agents. I mean, there's like, I don't know, over 30,000 FBI agents around the United States. Okay, there's about 15,000 in the United States, and then there's all internationally. That's where all the rest of the agents are. And you know, obviously there's technical support people, CSI, you know, all of those things that assist these agents. But I'll tell you what, I feel so sorry for the men and women, the hardworking men and women of the FBI, because this is a huge black eye. It has not been this bad since J. Edgar Hoover was director of the FBI, and he used to do all this illegal surveillance and do all this horrible, horrible stuff to American citizens. It's happening again.
Well, and you just have this FBI agent who was sentenced to, what, 7 days in jail?
7 days in jail.
7 days in jail for surveilling a conservative radio show host.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, illegally.
These people are out of control.
They are out of control. Okay. And you know where they got it? From Eric Holder. That's where they got this. From
I don't disagree whatsoever.
He supported them being rogue against the Republicans. And so they just thought that they had all of this power. They weren't reined in and in fact, probably given free rein under that administration.
Well, don't forget Loretta Lynch either. Okay.
No, I agree with, don't forget, I agree because with that, she but followed, I think that Eric Holder was far worse than Lynch, but maybe Lynch just was quieter about it.
Well, yeah, but did you see that just recently Eric Holder was interviewed and he made a comment. He said, I didn't think the FBI did anything wrong. Oh, my God. Okay, so
here's a guy that was giving guns,
Fast and Furious, and all the stuff that
Benghazi,
they did. Oh
all
my
these
God,
things it was that they it, did.
Just absolutely horrible, and that was his regime, which was the Obama regime. But I'm telling you what, John Durham? Is that his first name or Durham?
Durham.
His investigation, I think, is going to uncover so much more.
I hope so. I hope that we get to the bottom of some of these things. But that's why I say put your seatbelt on, because there's more to come. Well, I want to talk about the media for a second. And the media's biggest fails of 2019.
Missives.
Yes. Where they really missed the story about getting it right. Number one was the Jussie Smollett story.
Oh, yeah, I followed that story. I talked about it on One American News and I think Fox once even on Jussie Smollett.
Well,
yeah.
And Jussie Smollett, so the news totally bought into that whole thing that this guy was walking around in Chicago 2 o'clock in the morning and getting a pizza or whatever it was that he was doing, and that a couple of white guys wearing MAGA hats came along and happened to have bleach and a rope on them. And you know, wrapped it around and
tried to lynch him.
Yeah, and tried to lynch him. I mean, what an unlikely story. But they bought it and told it to the American people, hook, line, and sinker. And it was a huge miss. It was a huge disservice to the American people. It was a huge disservice to
law enforcement.
And to be telling people that, you know, that this racist act happened to this guy. They need to get the correct story before they report it. That was a huge miss.
Well, let me say something about this, because, like I said, I followed that story and opined on it. And I felt so bad for Chicago PD, which that poor police department is in complete disarray. And, you know, the superintendent who recently was fired from Chicago PD, no good deed goes unpunished. And then, of course, you know, they have that horrible district attorney there. And then you know, of course, they got the new mayor. But this happened just, I think Smollett happened just before the election of the new mayor. But they had 130 investigators involved in this case at one time. And I think they spent something like $130,000 in overtime trying to catch the guys that allegedly committed this horrible hate crime on Jesse Smollett. And then to find out that Jesse Smollett with the two guys just manufactured this whole thing and basically didn't even get a slap on the wrist. And, you know, he's suing the city of Chicago and the police department on this.
That's well, they're a, making him pay, too. So, right. But the point is that the news media, here's another big miss from the news media, and you also reported on this one, was the Covington Catholic High School students who were accused of harassing a Native American elder who served in Vietnam.
And by the way, the lead kid on that, who's got a huge hundreds of millions of dollar lawsuit, was wearing a MAGA hat.
Right. So they made it as though the kids were harassing these poor...
The Native American.
Yeah.
Right.
Where it was completely the opposite.
Correct.
And the things that they said in that report on the news, and I remember it clearly, was, you know, just the disgust about these white racist kids. And, you know, it was just so wrong. So you're right. He's suing them for their...
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, his life was upended. Another one was, let's see, the Mueller report was a big one. The news went for, what, a year more or more.
Correct.
On that, talking about how the president was close to in being indicted, that an indictment's coming, that he's been implicated in crimes. I mean, they went on and on and on that he was in collusion and nothing. It was a big nothing. Yet they reported it every day, every day.
Well, my favorite day was the day that they brought Mueller in, and he was actually under questioning. That guy did a horrible
job. Oh, my gosh.
Job. Just terrible. And that's what I keep saying. There is a mystique about the federal government, the way they investigate things. I don't care if it's a Congress, Senate, you know, the FBI, whatever. They do a horrible job. And here's a guy that was the director of the FBI, former director of the FBI. That's his claim to fame. And, I mean, to listen to that guy testify, I'm going, what the heck? This is your best? This is your best and brightest? And I'll tell you what, I was embarrassed for the guy.
Well, you know, and it's funny that even after there was a big nothing, the media kept going on with it. So that was a big miss. Another miss was, you know, this was the year of the anniversary of the Apollo landing and on the moon. And what the media did with that was despicable. So when Armstrong said, "One small step for man, a giant leap for mankind," they made that sound sexist and racist. They said that it helps perpetrate inequality on Earth and beyond, that he was talking about man. Okay, and then they brought it into that he's a white man, and he's talking about white men. And then they brought in that the Soviet Union was the first to put a woman up in space, and the first to put an Asian man up in space, and the first to put a black man. They made this historic, amazing event something racist. And in that week, which was in July, July 14th to 21st, of 2019, the word racist was mentioned in the primetime news media over 4,100 times. That's 30 times every minute in the main time frames of news in the evening.
Well, you know what? And that's a terrible thing, you know, that you're mentioning. I think what they did is they did a tremendous disservice in the utilization of the word racist and racism, because they now it's been tossed out there so many times. It's basically like Teflon. You know, you get called a racist, it's kind of like Teflon, because it's just been thrown out there so many times that it's lost the meaning. If you go back 40 years, you go back 30 years, if somebody was called a racist 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, that was a big deal. and people would pay attention to that. Now that word is used so frequently, or the person's a misogynist, or they're a sexist, or they're this or that. What they do is they
label everybody.
What's the word I'm looking for, Linda? They take the shock value out of the word.
Yeah, yeah.
They take the accuracy out of the word, and they belittle the word.
Well,
okay,
I mean, but that's
where we're going now.
The left is just the party of labels. I mean, we're all labeled all the time. Anyway, those were the biggest misses. Another one that, you know, I think it is that they, in my mind, that they've been talking about all year is, you know, they keep saying that there's going to be a recession. There's going to be a recession. Well, economists have now looked at that.
No, we're talking about the reverse U.
The reverse U?
The reversed U. In other words, how you look at charts. That's the term, the reverse U.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that, but I know that the media is reporting on something as though it's inevitable and they have no information. In fact, economists now say that they do not foresee any recession in 2020. So, haha.
Well, you know, that's just something that, by the way, did I sound smart when I said the reverse U?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea what the reverse U is, but that's the word that kept coming out, the phrase, the reverse U. But you know what? You just have to go, and I mean, between the two of us, I think we know who's smarter as far as, you know, trade and the economy and things like that. It's you, because you're involved in it every single day in your business. But I'll tell you what, I think ultimately people are going to vote with their pocketbooks. And the pocketbooks, like you say, are up. People are making more money. More people are employed. The stock market's going through the roof. We've got new trade with China. We've removed tariffs. China's removed tariffs. That's going to actually help.
Oh, now we've got USMCA.
And now we have USMCA,
yep,
which is going to be a boon. And if you noticed, I think it was General Motors is going to open a plant and put like 10,000 people in it back in Michigan again. And, I mean, come on. I mean, let's get serious. The oil industry, oil and gas industry is up. We are finally energy independent for the first time, in, I don't know, decades and decades. And when we go to Europe, people treat Americans with a sense of awe and respect again, because everything in our country is doing so well. And by the way, we know that when we travel and we go to Europe, the dollar is worth a lot more. And when we go to Mexico, the dollar is worth a heck of a lot more than the peso, which makes things great for the U.S.
Yes. Yep. And by the way, holiday spending this year was up 4%, which is a good amount for it to be up.
So, you know, all in all, things are doing pretty good, and that recession is just another trick by the Democrats to try to make President Trump look bad. I don't think the people are going to go with it.
No.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Well, at this time of the year, I always like to look at good news and bad news things that happen through the year. And I think that we talk a whole lot about bad news. And here's some more. But this is more on the business side. I want to talk about the biggest business disasters of 2019 with some top name companies that you're going to recognize. And this was an article that I had read in Inc. magazine, which I get. Because my company is in the Inc. 5000,
because you're such a stud. Because you're such a stud, Linda.
But it's really Inc.com is really just has some great articles for people to go to and read and learn about a lot of different things. This particular article is by Jeffrey James, and he's talking about epic fails in business that could be a lesson to any company. And number one on his list is Facebook. And why would Facebook be an epic fail? Well, it was a huge company run by Mark Zuckerberg, still is. And his ethos said that he was going to change the world for the better. Well, the brand pretty much collapsed this year because of a massive security breach that they had in 2018. So this security breach really was a problem for Facebook. And then after the 2016 presidential election, it became kind of clear that Facebook was spreading a lot of toxic disinformation on Facebook. And then in early 2019, it broke that their content moderators were underpaid and forced to work in horrible work environments. That was actually causing people PTSD, which is interesting. Then when Zuckerberg was called to Congress to explain all of this, he didn't come off very well.
Well, didn't they also get caught kind of spying on people and doing some overly intrusive things through people's Facebook accounts? I thought that was kind of bad. And then I also, there's the dog. And I also thought that they were putting people in Facebook jail for really no reasons at all. And they were holding back conservative freedom of speech.
Yes.
But they were touting liberal and progressive left speech, but they were intolerant of conservative speech,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So basically, Facebook came into the year as, just a wonderful company and kind of went out as a pariah.
And they lost a lot of market share, too, by the way. They lost some billions of dollars in market share.
Yeah, you've got some other Instagram, other things that are coming up that are becoming more popular. The second organization that really was a disaster, a business disaster in 2019, is the McKinsey organization.
What do they do, Lynn?
They are brainiacs that are supposed to be fixing problems and improve financial performance and find the right way forward for company. And the business world kind of discovered that McKinsey's, their own company, had a lot of skeletons. So, for example, when they were paid tens of millions to help Rikers Island prison reduce violence, they created a measurement system that guaranteed that it would look as if the violence was reduced when, in fact, it went up by 50%. A couple other things that they did that were pretty unsavory was they're actually under a criminal investigation because some of the companies that they were trying to help unwind from Chapter 11s, mm-hmm. they actually ended up funneling some of that money to itself. And
back to the company itself?
Yeah.
Wow.
And to its other clients.
Okay. Well,
Another thing that they did that I think was really despicable, one of the things that they suggested was that ICE save money by feeding prisoners less food. And, people just see that as pretty immoral. And
hey, there's
I
only so
too.
Many bologna sandwiches you can have.
Yeah.
You
know? So with the publicity that they got in 2019, the McKinsey brand as somebody that can come in and help you improve your company is not being a very trusted resource anymore. So Wells Fargo is another one that didn't come off very well in 2019. They have been around since 1852, and they just one of the world's oldest brands, but they've really have a tarnished reputation. They've been trying to rebuild some scandals, and they've had a tremendous amount of fines and monies that they've had to pay back. So, they're talking about that Wells Fargo's, it doesn't matter how much lipstick you put on that pig, it's just not going to have a good reputation anymore. And they just are going downhill. Okay. Another one that really got hit hard in 2019 was Uber.
Oh, especially with the sexual assaults. And then they've been going through some labor problems. You know, we take, you know, Uber all the time, and we have conversations with the drivers because, you know, we like to hear their story. Why did you become an Uber driver? What's it like being an Uber driver? But you know what? In the last few months, we've been, you know, with Uber drivers, they've been telling us a lot about what's been going on in that company and how the company is trying to suck more money out of the Uber drivers themselves. And it's really making the job of being an Uber driver a lot less profitable for them. I think that company's in for some serious problems. And then also they had thousands of reports, and this is an intercompany investigation that they did, but they had over 3,000 assaults committed on passengers and Uber cars by Uber drivers. So that's, you know, one has to take a look at that vetting process and be concerned. You know, you and I, most of the time, we're driving together when we have Ubers. But,
but I
both
go
of us separate.
A lot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And, but I have never had a bad experience.
Neither have I. They've all been good drivers.
And I like Uber. But, you know, what they did to put some of those scandals behind them is that they put new management in and new policies, and they did a PR blitz for its upcoming IPO. But when the IPO was launched, they wanted to get $100 billion out of it. They got $8.1 billion. That really hurt them, and it took their shares down from $45 to $30. You know, so they've got some big issues, and they're underperforming. And now you have the government stepping in and regulating and making their drivers be employees rather than contractors.
Well,
which
that's happening in California.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And then, you know, recently, because we fly in and out of the Ontario airport for business in Southern California, they kind of moved them out. Uber had to leave the Ontario airport because the airport was trying to get excessive taxes from them, from the drivers?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. So it's hard. And you know what? It's hard being an Uber driver.
I think so. I think you
it
have
is.
To drive a lot to make any
to
money.
Make money. And I think you got to basically be a retired person or have something else going on if you're going to be an Uber driver.
Yeah. And then one more business disaster was WeWork. And I don't know if you're familiar with that.
But I am not.
That was a company that they started out as office space furniture rentals, kind of, you know, those spaces where people can go in and, you know.
Oh, you mean temporary office rental spaces?
They did that.
I think it's a good concept, by the way.
And they did open plan office spaces. And then they wanted to extend their brand. And I think that's where they got in trouble. So they launched WeWork Wellness Spa Gyms, WeWork Private Elementary Schools, We Live Communal Housing Environments, all kinds of different things that they launched all at the same time. And then they put out an IPO. And that's when everything came crashing down. The IPO was canceled. The company's value plummeted. The guy that started it took a $1.7 billion golden parachute out of there.
Oh, you're kidding me. Are you telling me that the guy that started this thing took $1.7 billion out of his own company and then left it?
Yep.
Wow.
So that was with WeWork. And then just one more that was kind of, according to the author, was dishonorable mention is Boeing for the disasters with the Boeing 737 MAX planes.
Oh, and then, you know, just recently also their spacecraft, right? So their space capsule.
Oh,
They had a algorithm timing problem, but that's human created. That wasn't a computer problem. That was a human created problem. They did not, I think what happened is they thrusted early, burned up their
too much
fuel,
yeah.
Could not achieve the proper orbit.
Yes.
And had to land, and it just landed.
It landed.
Okay, so it landed good. It landed good.
Yeah.
But boy, that's just another straw on the camel's back for Boeing. I feel so sorry for those
Boeing's
guys.
Boeing's got some issues right now,
absolutely.
But hopefully they'll come out of it. Hey, I was listening to something that I absolutely love Jesse Waters when he goes out in the street and talks to people, right?
Oh, he's one of my favorites. And that's how he actually built his reputation on Fox.
Under Bill O'Reilly. And, you know, the thing about it is I'm just so amazed at what people don't know anymore, you know? So he did this thing that I was watching, and I got such a kick out of it. So I wanted to tell you some of the questions that he asked around the Christmas season.
Okay.
So he goes out in New York in the streets, got his microphone, and he asked people questions like, where was Jesus born? And some of the answers that you get, oh my gosh.
Cleveland.
Well, the first one said Jerusalem, and okay, well, you're close. They came from Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem,
right.
But anyway, another guy was hilarious. He just kept saying, wow, wow, wow.
And he was born in wow.
Then he said Europe. another gal, she was close. She said he was born in Bethanair.
Bethanair.
Bethanair. I don't know if that's the Beverly Hills of Bethlehem. I don't know what. Then he asked, what gifts did the three wise men bring to baby Jesus?
Oh, easy. Cell phone.
That was not an answer, but that would be a
power cord.
I did not understand the first answer. It was
Frankenstein.
Jangles? Jangles?
Yeah, sure, like jangles bells.
A robe. And reds?
Reds.
I'm like, what? And then another person said food.
Monster energy drink.
Yeah, food. Another one got part of it right. Gold, frankincense, and Wayne's chicken. And then he asked, what was Jesus's profession? Okay. And we all know that Jesus was
a preacher.
A carpenter.
Of course he was a carpenter because his dad was a carpenter, okay? He was picking it up from Joseph.
Right. Well, some people said
they should have asked him what was Jesus's paternal, you know, father, not biological father, but you know, who was his father?
Well, there was only two people that knew that he was a carpenter. A prophet was probably the next closest. So, final question was, and I'm not sure if you know this, but where was the first Christmas tree? Where did that tradition come from? What country was the first Christmas tree?
You know, I have to admit, I don't know.
Okay. Well, FYI, it's Germany is where. But we've got the answers of Russia.
Okay.
The U.S., Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
Of course.
which is a country. Sweden, Norway, Finland. And another answer was probably not the Middle East. So it's just really interesting to listen to. I mean, I probably was the most horrified about people not knowing where Jesus was born. But it just goes to show you, you know, when they do political questions, you can show somebody a picture of, you know, Madonna, and they all know who she is, but show them a picture of some, like the vice president, and they have no idea. It's really, really interesting to me. And I really wish, I blame the schools very much for this.
Well, you know, the scary thing, and I've said this a million times, as a matter of fact, every time you and I sit in front of the television, we're watching Waters World, and he asks those questions, you and I say the same thing. It's the schools, but it's the people being disengaged. They're just disengaged. They're not interested in history. They're not interested in religion. And parents give their kids away to strangers when they send them to school because you have no idea what they're going to learn when they're in schools. And parents are so busy trying to keep up and trying to earn an income that they are no longer really involved in PTA, in school board meetings, in the books that their kids are reading, in the classes that their kids are taking, and what the quality of the educators are that they turn their kids over to every single day.
Yeah,
and that's really kind of a scary thing.
Well, speaking of Jesse Waters was kind of hitting up Juan Williams on Fox the other day on his show The Five about this whole thing with the West Point, that the West Point cadets that were accused of flashing a white supremacist hand signal.
Right. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
And
I saw the hand signal, and as a guy that dealt with a lot of gang signs and, you know, white supremacy, investigated all those groups and everything, that was absolutely not any type of white supremacist hand signal. So no, what did they find
what
out?
What it Linda? Actually is that it's a game that they play, and it's a game with your fingers, and you make this symbol and you put your hand down in your lap, and if somebody looks down at it and sees it, they're supposed to punch you. So it's called a circle game. They make an okay symbol with their fingers,
okay.
like that. And if someone else looks at the symbol, the person making it can punch the other person, okay? It's just a game. They were having fun. Now, I don't even understand why they still say that they're going to discipline him, which is ridiculous. But my point was, Juan Williams was going on and on about this racist symbol, okay?
Well, that's his
okay.
stick.
But
you know,
he's wrong. He was
Of course
wrong.
He's wrong.
So Jesse asked him to apologize on air
and he didn't.
For saying that, and he would not.
Well, that's it. You
yeah.
know what? And I've been on Fox, and the same thing where Juan Williams is there. And, as a matter of fact, you were with me
I
one
wasn't
time,
sure.
right?
Yep.
And I'm sorry that Juan Williams is probably one of the least educated people on Fox, and he is a guy that unfortunately constantly throws down the race card. And he's been proven wrong on so many occasions. I'm really surprised that they continue to have him on Fox. And I'll be honest with you, I think they continue to have him on Fox for the diversity. And they could find another person of color that would do a much better job than Juan Williams. Well, are you ready for a couple of quick dog stories?
Yep.
Okay, well, my first dog story comes out of Franklin, Massachusetts, and it's the dog Grinch that stole presents. Okay, so what they do is they've got a dog, Ben, and he's a therapy dog at the Franklin, Massachusetts Police Department. And, of course, you know, this time of the year, the officers and detectives are gathering Christmas presents for kids to
sure.
give away during the holiday season. And they were looking at the box that the toys were being put in, and they kept finding that there were toys missing, and they couldn't figure out what the heck, who would be stealing the toys from the kids. So they went back on their closed circuit surveillance video, and what should they find but their golden retriever, their therapy dog, Ben, was grabbing toys and leaving. Well, they didn't know because they only had one view of the camera. So they started looking all around. They closed down the department so nobody could escape. And they found that Ben was taking all the toys and hiding them underneath the desk because Ben thought the toys were for him.
Of course.
So he's been banished from the toy room.
Oh, dear.
And because he had slobber on all the toys, he got to keep those toys.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
So Ben's been remediated, okay? The next one comes out of Corona, California, where you and I have businesses, and it's the Corona Police Department, and this is a hero dog. This is a case of a person that the police were chasing that had a domestic violence background or something. They make the car stop. The guy's not coming out of the car. They don't know whether the guys are armed or not. He's kind of a dangerous hombre, so they use a special air-powered rifle that shoots rubber pellets at the window, and they broke the safety glass, about half of it, with the window, and they're giving this guy orders to come out of the car. He's not, and they sent forth their canine. There's a phenomenal video of it, and that canine smashed right through the rest of that window and took that guy out.
I saw that video run. That dog took a flying leap right up into that truck window, which is no small
Think,
distance, right?
Absolutely.
From the
and,
ground.
You know,
and oh my gosh, and
took that guy out. And it was funny because I was watching the interview of the dog trainer, and they said, hey, do you train your dog to do that? And he goes, well, actually, I train my dog to jump through windows, but not windows that are rolled up and partially smashed. And he says, that didn't even affect my dog. He was so proud of that dog, and really, it kept the officers from using deadly force. So that was that dog's a hero in my book.
That dog deserved some of the Christmas presents from the other dog.
Absolutely. You ready to call it?
I am.
All right.